This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we'll try not to redefine the Pennsylvania duh this morning.
Yeah, well, not too good so far.
Not too good so far. We're trying, and we're joined by Mr. Steven Strollo of Phillips 66. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here. I was actually here last year, and I wasn't sure I'd be invited back, but glad I was.
Here you are.
We're the ones that are worried about being invited back.
Yeah, that's for sure. You've got a guaranteed spot. Us, not so.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
And we're here to talk about oil.
Now, that's right.
Everybody just thinks oil is something you have to buy and put in your engine every now and then. But there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Well, there is. Especially in the aviation community, there's a lot of misconceptions about definitions. One being the definition of a mineral oil. People in the aviation segment, when they refer to a mineral oil, a lot of folks think of an oil that is unadditized or an oil without additives in it. And additives are really added to oil to improve the performance characteristic of an oil, right, for whatever it's used, whether it be an engine oil or hydraulic oil or whatever. But by definition, a mineral oil is actually an oil that's refined from crude oil that comes out of the ground, from oil wells, basically, as opposed to a synthetic oil. So basically you have mineral oils, again, refined crude oil that comes out of the ground, and you've got synthetic oils that are made from chemicals, basically. In the aviation segment, many people have found that synthetics don't do a very good job of removing some of the deposits in an aviation engine that are generated from operating the engine, especially if you were to consider Mobil's full synthetic oil that was actually released probably 20 years ago, was actually taken off the market because of that oil's inability to dissolve, again, deposits that accumulate inside of an engine. Phillips 66 makes lots of synthetic oils for over-the-road engines, right, cars and
right.
trucks. But we've never seen an advantage of actually having a synthetic or a semi-synthetic for aviation engines. And that's why all of our oils, including our multi-weight XC, is 100% mineral oil.
Would you attribute the differences in the way those engines accumulate deposits to the fact that an aviation engine is always under load? It's working harder, it's generating more heat, more fuel burn?
Well, and also that, plus the fact that 100 low lead is still being used, right? So there are lead deposits you'll see in aviation engines, reciprocating aviation engines, that you don't see in over-the-road type engines. Plus there's a higher amount of blow-by that actually occurs in an aviation engine than your typical over-the-road engine. That leads to a lot of deposits as well. But again, a mineral oil, there's, again, a misconception about what that is. The other misconception that surrounds the use of a mineral oil, at least the aviation community's definition of a mineral oil, is that a mineral oil has got to be used for break-in purposes, right? So a lot of folks will believe that you have to use an unadditized oil, right? An oil without additives.
Can you even get that?
Oh, you can. Phillips 66 sells such an oil. Aeroshell sells such an oil as well. Our unadditized oil, or what some people would call a mineral oil, is called Type M. Another misconception is that you've got to use an oil without additives for break-in purposes, right? That's not true. And I'm not quite sure how that thought was originated, but it's just not true. You can use an additized oil, in other words, an oil with an ashless dispersant, which is the common additive that is used in operational aviation oils. You can use such an oil for break-in purposes. At least that's our position. We've recommended our multi-grade XC, which has an ashless dispersant in it, from break-in to TBO, since the oil was introduced in 1979. And it's never presented a problem, and this includes break-in of all sorts of engines with all different sorts of metallurgy for the cylinder barrels.
I think one of the great misconceptions about oil, people just don't understand that not only is it a lubricant, but it's also cooling the engine and also helping to keep it clean as well. That's why oil is black when you drain the sump. It's all the blow-by products and all of the sludge and stuff.
You mean the technical term schmutz?
Yeah.
That's the one I use.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, the primary function of any lubricant, and again, this isn't just unique to aviation engines, but anything that has moving metal surfaces, the primary function of a lubricant is to reduce friction and control wear. But, you know, cooling, sealing, removing contaminants are all secondary, but still very important functions of a lubricant. So, you know, an aviation lubricant cools by, you know, the oil splashing on the underground of pistons and cooling by that mechanism. And it cleans by, you know, the ashless dispersant, again, that very common additive that exists in any operational type aviation engine oil. The ashless dispersant keeps these contaminants that we were talking about earlier in suspension so they don't settle out over every component in your engine and clog oil passageways and ring grooves and whatnot. And by keeping the contaminants in suspension, it allows them to be removed when you drain out the oil.
I'm going to have to, it makes me want to drain the oil every time I run the thing now the way he says that.
Well, you know, it does need to be done. I mean, if you look at the oil drain recommendations for the major engine manufacturers, at least for, you know, aviation engines, it's basically every 50 hours if you have a filter or every 4 months. And the reason why that four-month stipulation is in there is to remove condensation, moisture, in other words, that can accumulate inside your engine. Even through, you know, non-use, just temperature changes that occur between night and day can cause condensation to occur in your sump, right? And that's, you know, the primary catalyst in the rust and corrosion process. So by draining your oil with some regularity, again, the criteria that I mentioned before, it's a good mechanism for reducing rust and corrosion.
Does oil ever actually wear out?
You know... Good question. There are three reasons why you change out oil. One is that it wears out. Basically, it oxidizes, combines with the oxygen that's in the air, right, and becomes thicker because of the oxidation process. And there are other consequences of oxidation as well. A second reason is that the additives will deplete with time. And the third reason is that it just gets dirty, right? So two of those reasons, the oxidation process and the depletion of the additive package with time does again lead to a yes answer your question. Oil does wear out.
What about multi viscosity oils? I mean, we always were taught that you want thin oil in the winter when things are cold and it doesn't want to crank over anyway.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll first of all start by saying and answer your question that Phillips 66, we make straight weight oils, right? We make straight weight oils, we make multi weight oils. So I'm not responding to this question because this is all we have, right, is a multi-weight, but we're big proponents of multi-weight oils for the reason you alluded to. You know, at cold temperatures, it flows very readily. It leads to your engine cranking more easily, and more importantly, the thin oil leads to oil getting to your components much more quickly than it will with a straight weight. But yet at elevated temperatures, it's still as thick, if not slightly thicker, than a straight weight oil. So provides protection at low temperatures and high temperatures, which are equally as important. You know, you haven't seen a straight weight oil being suggested for an over-the-road engine, again, cars or trucks, for, what, 30 years or so?
Probably more than that.
Right.
Here's another question. Just because you have a multi-weight oil in your engine, that does not preclude preheating it, right? You still have to preheat.
That's very true, right? So I would follow the guidance of your engine manufacturer, and you're exactly right. I mean, any engine manufacturer, regardless of whether you're using a straight versus a multi-grade oil, will actually suggest the use of preheating through a variety of mechanisms.
And that's not just because of the oil too, but it's also the tolerances in the engine itself.
That's exactly right.
I like the preheat method called moving to Florida.
Yeah, that's a good method.
That's a good preheat method in the summer, in the winter, but not a place I particularly care to be.
In the summer, yeah.
I was born and raised in Lakeland, Florida, and great place, but it vividly reminds me why I left the area whenever I go back in the summer.
They talk about the state bird here, and it's pretty intense down there in Florida, too, I imagine.
Yeah, right.
Now, oils have all these different ratings, like SE ratings and all these ones that they want you to have. That's based on the additive content?
Right. I mean, the two primary specifications for aviation engine oils are SAE J1899 and SAE J1966. And without going into great detail, the difference is one is additized and one is not. So, you know, the 1899 oils are your operational oils, right? And they contain the nationalist dispersant. The other ones, the 1966 oils, are unadditized oil, what people commonly refer to as mineral oils. And those are just for break-in purposes.
Yeah, for me, I always thought a mineral oil was like 99% of the oil out there is mineral oil because it's made from petroleum and crude, like you say, versus a synthetic.
The majority of oils are mineral oil, but there are a percentage of synthetics or semi-synthetics out there.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, and now we know far more about oil than we ever thought we needed to know.
Well, yeah, really.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks very much.
There you go. We're talking with Stephen Strollo here from Phillips 66. I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.